Hey, I get to go to church twice this morning. Love it. I'm making up for all those other months that we've lived through. I want to tell you a story before I start this morning. I heard a man speak at C3 conference a couple of years back. He's quite a famous man, written books and all of that. And he shared a testimony of how he built a church in England and there were about 600 people in the church. It was a real blast. That people were so happy. They loved going to church. They loved their connect groups. They loved all the wonderful things that happened in church. But it grieved the pastor. It grieved him because he didn't see one reach out to the society that was around that church and in the neighbourhood and all the broken people that he used to drive past to get to the church. So you know what he did? He and a couple of others went to a locality where there were prostitutes, where there were drug addicts, where there were homeless, and he invited them to church. And guess what happened? 300 people left. Yeah, that's about right. They left because pastor had lost his marbles. This was just too radical. This was not what they'd signed up for. So they left. And guess what that pastor and those that were left did? They reached out to those people, led them to the Lord, discipled them, trained them as leaders, and he handed the church over to them. So my message this morning is about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So that church forgot who they were. They forgot what they were here for. They forgot the main thing, the purpose. So may we have a look at Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavour, how will the earth be salted? I often picture God sitting on his throne with a little world in his hands and then a salt shaker full of Christians and then shaking them all around the earth to get this place moving, to get a bit of action happening. So it says, but if the salt loses its flavour, how will the earth be salted? It's then only good to be thrown out and trodden on by men. So he tells you who you are, but then there's a caution. Don't forget who you are. Now, there's a lot of biblical examples of people who added value to other people in the Old and New Testaments. There's Ruth, Esther, Abigail, Joseph, Daniel. All these people were salt in their environment. They added value. They stepped out for God. If we lose our influence and the vision to improve our environment, to see God take over, then we lose our saltiness, we become tasteless, bland. I don't like that word, do you, bland? Have you ever eaten a meal and it's just got no taste whatsoever? It's a bit hard to get through, isn't it? We may mispurpose God's purpose for us and for others. So let's look at Mark 5:14. You not only salt, but you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or the bed, some translations say, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. I was wanting to be a bit ecclesiastical this morning and having one of those sort of like Anglican candles on a big stand and having it here, but I couldn't lay hold of one. I couldn't find one anywhere. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What is amazing here is Jesus declares that you are the light of the world. I don't care what you think about yourself. Jesus has made the declaration. You are the light. You, every single person in this room, if you've got Christ living within you, we've had a revelation of Jesus, if the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, whether you feel it, think it, or know it, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You've been sprinkled, man. You've been sprinkled. So, whatever you think of yourself, God has declared you are the light. Now, I have a testimony of a marvelous church that I know I've sent out a video to lots of people to watch. It was just marvelous. But it was a Swedish pastor who was speaking in America, and he talked about 3 or 4 years ago, do you remember when all the refugees from the Middle East swarmed up into Europe? You probably would have seen it all on the news. Many went to Greece. They had pumped up boats, airfield boats, ended up in Greece and all made their way to Sweden. Many of them went their way to Sweden because Sweden's borders were more open than a lot of other European countries. So here were hundreds of thousands of people swarming into Europe and on their way to Sweden. Now, that's an overwhelming, frightening proposition for government because Sweden didn't have the resources, didn't have the infrastructure to accommodate hundreds of thousands of Muslims. But this pastor decided to put a big sign across his church, refugees are welcome here. And his church was flooded with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Muslims. And in the process, they taught them how to speak Swedish. They taught them business principles. They taught them how they could organise accommodation. They looked after the interests of these people. But you know what they did as well? They preached the gospel profoundly to these people. Let me tell you today that 75% of that church is ex-Muslim. Now, you wondered what happened to all of those refugees. I know that. I wondered. And I thought, man, that'd be really difficult. Do you know God had a plan? God had a plan. And this church became the scripture where it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. They became a city set on a hill and it couldn't be hidden. If you see a city set on a hill, it's obvious. It's out there. And these people became very obvious and were very out there. Did you know they had to build an ex-Muslim Bible school for them? So I love that. A church stepped out and was salt and light. They had the resources to do it and it was exceptional. Now the next section of that, it says, and it gives light to all are in the house. You know, the first place to shine is in our family and our home. I also visited Nepal in 2011. I knew a young woman there. I was invited for Christmas, and her husband I did not know very well. And so we were in a very small area in our living quarters, was sort of maybe about half the side of the stage. But at night they would go into the students' quarters to sleep to give me privacy in the room. Now I watched this man who I didn't know very well, and I watched him, and I must admit I saw love. I watched his behaviour with his son. I watched his behaviour with his wife. I watched his behaviour with the students that came to the door. And I tell you what, I saw the heart of the Father. He revealed the light. And that has to be in our home first, doesn't it? It starts there. Look, if your spouse doesn't see Jesus in you, then I don't know how you're going to turn on the neighbourhood to God. So, I saw love. It was the most inspiring, encouraging thing. I remember sitting on the bed one afternoon thinking to myself, Lord, this is amazing. This is beautiful. A year later, they moved from there to a little place in the country to where they lived. And they were planted right in the middle of a neighbourhood of Hindus. And they were hospitable, loving, kind, and very gracious to their neighbours. And I remember one morning waking up with a knock on the door. Diddy, man is very sick next door. So I go in with this man and he looks cactus on the bed, really looks bad. So we prayed for him and we went home. And the next morning he was out in the field working with his wife. So I just love this guy's heart, no matter who they were, no matter what happened, to reach out. So in his little church, he nurtures these people. He's discipling a couple of kids who were captive in a factory. They're now a couple that they're discipling and loving. And I thought, this guy is influencing and and yet not 1,000 people have been saved, no. But I realised there's a light burning in the midst of all these neighbours, these Hindu neighbours. You are lights in your neighbourhood. You are lights in your workplace. You are lights wherever you go. Now, some examples of light and salt. I loved what Ben shared last week about he was sharing some kingdom principles with some other young men that he was working with, and I felt so quickened when he was sharing about that, because it just blessed me that he was an improver. He's a carrier of light to someone else. Because one of the aspects of salt, I looked up the definition of salt, it is that we are improvers. We are influencers for good. So that so blessed me that he was influencing. So I rang a local chaplain who's a friend of mine. She works at Altar One, and she gave me a fantastic testimony of how light had happened in her setting. She works with very needy young people in this school of Altar One, and she has the privilege of going to their homes and endeavouring to build relationship with parents. And some of the families are very broken, ice addicts. And so her and a bunch of people really pray about all these people. In 2017, a young woman that she was looking after, who was autistic, she had lots of emotional issues. She was very intelligent, but she couldn't communicate very well. And so this chaplain, Robbie, went to visit her, visited her family, and built relationship and trust over 3 years. And each time she'd go walking with this girl, she'd take her to look at nature and she'd talk about how God had made this. She'd do all the talking. The girl would just listen. I mean, people who do these things and are patient for 3 years, I stand in awe of. And one day, the girl said to her, "Can I ask Jesus into my heart?" So 6 months ago, she led her to the Lord. But let me tell you, the family she came from is a very broken mess. The mother has had a couple of husbands and then an ex-boyfriend, and there was children from each husband. She was on Centrelink payments. They cut them off. She was in great financial distress. And there was a lot of issues that were very difficult for this girl. But the day she got saved, also too, one of the boyfriends had damaged a lot of the children. He had assaulted them. And so he was going to court. I mean, like mess. He was going to court denying everything. But once this girl got saved, he got into the courtroom and acknowledged it all, admitted it. And then Centrelink rung this woman and said, "We are going to pay you again, and we're going to pay you for everything that was cut off to you over the previous time." So suddenly this woman saw God shining and lighting up her load and her light. And it took somebody with a bit of patience and grace to believe that they were planted in there to be improvers and to be salt. And look, sometimes it's not an overnight success. Sometimes it takes patience and grace and all of that. You know, I've also read a book called There Runs a Quiet River, and it's about a lovely Vietnamese pastor. He was a man who lived in an area that was very poor in Vietnam. He was a real family man, loved his family, was a real example, worked at a local factory. But he also went out to meet all the neighbours, and he talked to the farmers, and he helped them apply some different skills to their farming so that they actually started to prosper. He became so beloved in that town. His little church grew. He finally, one day, he was praying and the Lord spoke to him and said, your time here is finished. You've got to move on to another area. And it was very poor, poorer than here. So he went to his boss in the factory and he said, look, I'm sorry, but I'm moving to another area. And the boss said, he said, no. He said, we just decided to make you the manager and double your wages. And he said, look, thank you. But he said, I've heard from the Father. So off he went to this new area and he started all over again, beginning to build trust, to improve the lot of the people who were in that area just by small things, sowing into their lives to bring a moderate prosperity in. And I look, when I read that book, I remember I was awestruck. I was awestruck by the consistency, by the heart of committedness to brightly shining and improving circumstances that these people were in. I'm doing good. The book's called There Runs a Quiet River. I was awestruck by it. I thought, Lord, if ever this little Vietnamese pastor has challenged me, he has certainly done that. And what was more, his commitment to God, he went past his comfort level. He went past what was comfy. And it was going to be a challenge for his kids. It was going to be a challenge for his wife. And he was missing out on all this financial increase. But he heard the voice of the Father, because I thought I could imagine God sitting up there and I think, well, he's done the work there. I need him over here because it's pretty messy. And so sometimes we forget that we are God's seed that he plants in a place and to improve and bring life. We can get so caught up in the stuff of life. One of the reasons sometimes why I think we don't shine and we don't realise who we is because we don't realise who we are. We don't spend enough time thinking about who God declares that we are. And we are salt and light. You are the lights of the world. A person who I feel we're a little bit more like sometimes is poor old Gideon. Gideon was in the doldrums and an angel turned up and he said, ho, Gideon, mighty man of valor. And I can always imagine Gideon saying, oh, for heaven's sake, who sent you? Don't you know Israel? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm the least of the blah, blah, blah. And I thought, most of us, no matter how negative we were, if an angel turned up, we'd probably be a bit better than that, wouldn't we? But I thought, he didn't know God had plans. And God was looking at him with all the potential he could see in Gideon. God looks at you and sees massive possibilities and potential for you reaching out to the lost and bringing victory in his kingdom. So, you know, another person who shone that I just love is Ruth, the Moabitess. That lady, I marvel at that book. I've just reread it and reread it again recently. And I marvel because she made a commitment to the God of Israel, a commitment to her mother-in-law, and she went and did a simple act that resulted in her being the great-grandmother of King David and then an ancestor of Jesus Christ. I ask you, you know what she did? She went out and did a day's work. And when Mordecai asked about what she was doing, and they said, well, look, she's worked all morning. She comes in for a short break and then she's gone out and worked again. She had work ethic. She just put her hand to the plough. She just went and did a simple thing. And she shone, because when Mordecai asked about her, everyone said, we're all impressed about the fact that she's looking after her mother-in-law. I mean, I ask you, looking after your mother-in-law? You wouldn't think that would get you accolades, but I tell you what, before God it did. You know, some of us might be at the point where we think to ourselves, oh, look, I'm a bit old now for being out there in the workplace and I don't have the contacts with the people anymore, but there's always intercession for those with physical limitations. I had an experience the other day when I was driving out of the spa and I'm just coming up to the rise to turn right to come home, and all of a sudden I heard whirr and then splat. This man on a motorbike went up into the air and landed on his back, splat, out in the middle of the road, traffic everywhere, and he hit his head. He looked dazed. And I thought, once upon a time, this little nursey Percy would have slammed on the brakes, jumped out of there, do-do-do-do-do, here comes the ED nurse. And I would have run over, felt his pulse, don't touch him, leave him on his back. I would have done all of that. But I didn't have the energy. But you know what I saw? I saw four blokes that were in cars, tradies, dropped everything and ran over to this guy, helped him up, picked his bike up for him. It was gorgeous. I felt so good. And I thought, okay, God, that's a little lesson for some of us who think we're getting on a bit. There are others to do that work. And you know what? I felt the Lord say to me, so you can pray. So I prayed for him all the way home, and I've got a feeling he lives down the road. So he's a neighbour. So I felt to really pray for that guy, that that would shock him into reality about eternity and his soul. So you might think, I don't get the opportunity to shine. I'm not even at work. But I tell you what, did anyone see the movie War Room? At the end of it was the most exhilarating thing I've ever felt in a picture theatre, where all these intercessors and prayer warriors were praying for the next generation to burn like lights out in the workplace, out in where they were. So if you're not in there, at least pray for all those that are. So what does shining with good works look like? Isaiah 58:10 says, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity. Are you feeling a bit obscure? Are you feeling a bit in the dark place? Feed somebody. Look, care for someone. Reach out to someone. No, underneath all this light, there's a secret. The bottom line for all this shining is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our intimacy with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Our shining comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Ask God today if there's any dimming of your light. Ask Him and recommit to His vision for you to shine in this dark world. And pray, Lord, help me to carry the atmosphere of heaven wherever I go. Help me to take to believe who I am, to believe that I am what you said I am, and I am a light of the world. Lord, make me salt and light once again. So I am going to leave that with you this morning. I challenge you. Why don't we pray? Lord, I thank you because you have declared that we are salt and light. Lord, help us to not cut short or to be unbelieving about what you said about us. Lord, help us to know who we are, to know the love of the Father, and to carry that love of the Father to wherever we go. May we be love. May people look at our lives and see love, and to see care and grace and understanding. May they look at us and see a bright light that burns in our dark generation. That's getting darker, Lord. May we burn brighter and brighter. And Lord, may we just love you more and more. Amen.